If you have your Bible this morning, I want to pick back up and continue this. And this here is part four. I had started this here a few weeks ago. And the title of this is, Time to Get Up on the Stick. Time to Get Up on the Stick. So I've asked this, and a lot of times we have procrastinated and put things off. But, you know, sometimes you just got to get it in gear and get it done, you know. I want to pick this up, but I do want to start with my main source of my scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 11 here, verse 28 through 30. Zach had made the statement I had given him a lot of other scriptures this morning. He says, my goodness, Daddy, you know. And I mean, I gave him several more. But how many knows the Word of God does not stop, it continues? You can study God's Word, and I was thinking about this morning, you know, just John 3:16. We've read that since we was little children, but you still read it, it has an effect. So the Word of God does not get old, it does not get stagnated, it just gets better. Amen. So I just want to pick up this morning, Matthew chapter 11, starting back in verse 28. It says, and I thank the Lord that we have it on our screen, because faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word. I want us to see the Word. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We got to realize when we take something upon us, sometimes it's not to make things easier. And I thought about this here this past week on coming to Him. When we come to Him, we think, well, we go to the Lord, everything's going to be peachy. Everything's going to get easy. Let me tell you one thing. The devil ain't going to take it laying down. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. But I want to move on with this here. I want us to go on, Zach, to Isaiah chapter 1. I want to pick back up here on Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And I kind of stopped with some of this last Sunday morning. But I want to read this verse here, verse 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Okay, we made several statements about this passage of scripture right here. There's a time that you have to reason things out. And I'm not backing up. I'm just kind of captivating some things so I can move forward here. All right. I want us this morning, in this next verse here, chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2, Zach. All right. I want us to read this here. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God don't just accept your will, it's His will. Amen? Did y'all get what I mean? Sometimes we pray what we want to pray, but we need to pray God's will. Because our will is not the plan of God. It's the plan of what you feel. And we're not living this thing by feelings. We're living it by what? By faith. Okay? Faith is what? Substance of things hoped for and evidence of things what? Not seen. We're serving the Lord, and a lot of things we don't see at the first of it. It's kind of like some of Zach's teaching this morning, the boy with the loaves and the fishes. When the lad brought it to Jesus, all he had was a lunchbox. And I got a message out of that this morning. That's what I was laughing about, Zach, this morning. Zach was teaching on the loaves and the fishes, and the Lord gave me a message on that. Did you forget your lunchbox? You know, and I was sitting there, I was chuckling, you know, and the Lord was just giving me a message about forgetting your lunchbox. And I thought about this. Out of all of those thousands and multitudes of people, there was only one kid with a lunch. And that kid, and I thought about this, I thought about Joseph a lot of time. Why picket Joseph actually fixes him a lunch, a Jethro bucket, I call it, all kinds of stuff to go to work in. And she'll fix him a sandwich. In the end of the day, I'll pick with him and Javis. Javis eats all the candy, all the Snicker bars and all that. And leaves Joseph the sandwich. And Javis will say, "Daddy didn't eat his sandwich." I said, "If he don't eat it today, he'll eat it tomorrow." You know? And I thought about the little boy when Zach was doing the teaching on this morning. He was the only one that brought his lunch. And he was thinking in his mind, and I'm not going to get on to my sermon there because the Lord really gave me something powerful about that. But understand this, the child did not bring his lunch to not eat. He brought it to distribute. I'll come back to that later. But the Lord really gave me a message on that. So don't forget your lunchbox. Amen. But picking this back up here, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 55 and 6, Zach. Let's look at this here. Isaiah 55 and 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon the Lord while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways." Now, we're talking about reasoning together, okay? We're talking about we're going to the Lord. I can use myself. When I came to the Lord, I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to a lot of things, elements of this world. But when I came to the Lord, I knew what I was doing wasn't right in God's eyes. So when I came to the Lord to reason things out, I couldn't make excuses why I needed my drugs. I couldn't reason out why I had to have my alcohol. But when I came to him, I listened to the reason that he's had. He said that I went to Calvary to deliver you from all of these addictions. Y'all got to get this in your spirit. When it said this here, this next part that I want to read you here, Isaiah here, it says, "Seek the Lord." Okay, we got to understand, when we seek the Lord while he may be found, call you upon him while he is near. All right, "Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him," all right, now get this right here, "and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will" what? That he will what? Abundantly, that means I'm gonna pardon that and everything else to come. Because let me say this right here. When you are addicted, you have withdrawals. Amen? When you have a habit, when I was an alcoholic, I smoked, I was addicted. And when I had, Brother John, when I started, I mean, I came to the Lord. I reasoned it out. I knew the Lord was going to help me. I didn't have to make excuses, say, "Well, I'm smoking so many packs a day, I'm gonna stop and smoke one pack a day. I drink a case a day and a fifth of Crown Royal. I'm going to just cut it back to a six-pack and a pint." Come on, folks. I mean, don't we try to reason things out? You know, we want to kind of, we want to do it slow, Lord. Come on. But he said, when you come to him, he says, "I want you to get rid of the things that don't need to be there." In other words, don't tote around a crutch. Don't pull your wagon, a sad sack, around with you. "Well, I got problems, Lord. You know, I need this. I need a drink every night before I go to bed." Come on. You know, I gotta, you know, I'm so nervous, you know, and I'm telling you the way I thought. I'm nervous. I gotta smoke a cigarette right after I get through eating. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But But it tells us right here that you got to shun those kind of things. In other words, shake it off. I remember my boys growing up, they would skin their knees, and we'd carry Joseph to the hospital numerous of times of things that, you know, a little worse than a skint knee. And his mom would just be falling apart. Oh, look at this, look at that. I said, it'd be all right. You men are just weird. You know, you men are just, you know, y'all don't think nothing. I said, it'll be all right, it's just a scratch. When he broke his arm riding bulls, his old arm looked like an S. It was just all bent up and everything. And he said, Mama, it'll be all right. And that thing was all deformed and everything. And Teresa was just falling apart, you know. It ain't the first broke arm that's ever happened, you know. But according to Sister Teresa, her son was the only one that ever had a broke arm, just falling apart, you know. But this scripture here, let me go on with this here. In verse 8, it says, listen to this here. I'm going to really get into some things here this morning. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You got to change your thinking when you come to the Lord. You got to get clear. The Bible says we're clean through the Word. We're washed through the Word. We're clean through the Word. And in this passage here, right here, it says, your thoughts, your ways are not mine. It goes back, I got so much out of what Zach was teaching this morning about the Jesus when he blessed the food, all right? He blessed it, but now the point that I got out of what Zach was talking about, when he distributed to the disciples, not only did Jesus bless it, but the disciples had to, listen to what I'm going to tell you, the disciples had to believe in the blessing. Before they could distribute it, they had to believe in the blessings. We got to believe in the thought of the Lord is much better than ours. How many of you ever heard, when you was growing up, your dad, your parents tried to tell you something not to do? Come on. And you heard it, but you didn't heed to it. You did it your way. And a little bit later in life, you realize, you know, Mom and Daddy wasn't as stupid as I thought they was. Come on. Everybody say amen at one time. Amen. All right, we got it. But you learn these things, see? And right here, this passage of Scripture is telling us he's speaking directly to you in your conduct, how you should conduct yourself. Not the way you think, Brother David, but the way he thinks. And can I say this right here? A lot of times people say, you know, this talks about, you know, his ways are above our ways and everything. But understand this, when you get born again, you get grafted in to God's ways. Y'all, I gave y'all an opportunity to shout then. When you come to him, you get grafted in and you learn his ways is a lot better than your ways. When you, I just say it like this. When you learn to heed to God's word, like I said a while ago, we're clean through his word. But he told the disciples, he said, if you keep my word, then you are my disciples. Ain't that what he said? Okay, when you learn to keep this word, what you do, you get to a place that you say, well, there ain't no reasoning. He's right and I'm wrong. Amen? When you find out somebody is right and you're wrong, sometimes you got to admit you're wrong. Come on now. But he said this here, he said, in this here, in the next, I'm going to come on down to verse 10, it says, Zach's got this here, verse 10. It says, listen what it says. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The coming down of God's word in our life, what it does, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what it does, it causes increase. The word is planted into our spirit man, and what it does, it brings forth a bud. Right now, the farmers are planting. I have one of the farmers that we do business with. He had called me, and I carried him a product the other day that they put out to defert the deer. The deer eat their crops up. Right now, the cotton is real small, and the cotton is real tender, and them deer come out of the woods, and they'll walk down a row, and they'll just bite the tops out of that cotton. I went into fields where they've had 2 or 3 acres just in one night that just eat up by deer. But there's a repellent that we carry and we haul to them, and they spread it out, and it repels them not to come in. And I'm saying that to say this right here. When we allow the word of the Lord to come in, it repels out what the enemy's trying to bring in and destroy. Y'all got to get that in your spirit. See, the repelling of God's word, because it said right here about the word, it says, for the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not hither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud. God's word, when it comes in there, Brother John, it's a seed, and then the Holy Spirit begins to bring forth the germination of that seed, and what it does, it begins to bring life. Yeah. Have you ever went to your garden, or even a farmer or whatever, went out there and you say you've planted some peas or butter beans or okra or whatever you have planted, and a few days you go out there and you look and you see the ground begin to crack, and you see just a little bit of green coming through the dirt. What that is, that's germination has took root, and that seed, Brother David, is growing. And this word is saying us right here, our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his, but if we'll listen to him and reason everything out according to the word, he will plant in our lives seed that will take root and it will grow, and we can bring forth much fruit. Woo, glory. Can y'all shout? Is there a shout in the house? Amen. But I'm talking about bringing forth life. Okay? The word brings forth life. Amen? All right, Zach. Let's go to Romans. I'll tell you what. Let's move on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I told you I've got so many notes that I've wrote down on this. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 20. Zach's got it good. Listen what it says here. Ephesians 4 and 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is where? In Jesus. All right? You know the truth. Another passage of scripture, and I got this wrote down a little bit later, but John chapter 8 is talking about knowing the truth and the truth making you free. But in this passage of scripture right here, in the next verse, in verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation. In other words, put off what your thoughts, your old thinking. Can I say this right here? You'll never move ahead unless you get renewed in the spirit of your mind. You'll never move ahead. You'll stay where you're at. You'll die in lack. But this scripture is talking about here, but that you put off the concerning the former conversation, the manner of your old life. In other words, the way you think it ought to be, you got to think a little bit different. Well, I go to church on Sunday morning, that's enough. I go to church this, and I do this, and I do that. Let me tell you one thing. That's your thoughts. Yeah. Amen? But it goes on to this here. Listen to what the next part of this verse said. Which is corrupt according to what? The deceitful lust. Your ways are not my ways, he says. Because mine's higher than yours. Mine's, in other words, my... Have you ever had an idea, then somebody come up with another idea, and they said, my idea sounds better than yours? Come on. I think we'll, come on, y'all, be honest. I thought mine sounded better than theirs. Come on. But he said this right here, you got to put away the deceitful lust. In other words, you got to put away your ways. Because it goes on to this next verse, it says, and be what? Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We are a spirit. Okay? And he that worship me must what? Worship me what? Spirit and what? Truth. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay? All right? But this part right here, listen what it said right here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind in verse 24, that ye put on the what? I'm going to use my wife because she's not in here, but I know she'll watch this program. A lady will go in her room and she will try on two or three outfits and she'll have everything laid out on the bed. She'll put this on. She'll look at the mirror. It don't look right. She'll pull it off, lay it on the bed, go get something else. And just a little while, she figures out, well, that looks okay. I thought the first outfit she put on looked all right. Come on. But I'm saying that to say this right here. He's not talking about putting religion on. He's not talking about putting organization on. He's talking about putting him on. Okay? When you put him on, religion falls. Denominations fall. Race falls. But he's saying this right here, and that you put on the new man. I got tickled at Sister Teresa. She's cleaning mine and her closet out. And she had got some stuff out the other day and put on the bed, her stuff, and it still had tags on it. But she just had to have... How many other women does that? Don't raise your hand because I don't want to give y'all away. But I looked and I said, you bought that. I said, and you hadn't even wore it. I forgot that I even had it. I'm saying that to say this right here. A lot of times we try to put the new man on, but we still got some old stuff in the closet. Is this good preaching? I mean, we want to move forward, but yet we still got things in the closet, Brother David, that we shouldn't have in the closet. Because he said right here that you put on the new man, which after God is created what? In righteousness and what? Holiness. I mentioned that I was addicted to a lot of things, but when I got saved, I didn't drive around with some marijuana in my glove box. Just in case I wanted to smoke one, I'd have one. Come on. I didn't ride around with my ice chest with my Michelob's. I didn't say old Milwaukee's either. I said Michelob's. Or Bush. Come on. And I didn't ride around with a carton of Winston cigarettes on the dash just in case I needed one, you know. When I came to the Lord, listen to what I'm going to say now. When I came to the Lord, I came to the Lord to be changed. I talked to you a little bit last week about being transformed. When I came to the Lord, I was transformed by the renewing of my mind. Amen. And this is talking about right here. It goes on down to this next scripture, and I'm not going to get into all this right here, but it tells us to put away a lot of things. When you put away everything, all of these things, I mean, you got to read this a little bit later. This is some stuff that we need to seriously get rid of. Lying, cheating, stealing, mischief, dishonesty. Come on. I mean, there's all these things you got to get rid of them. Why? You can't say, well, Lord, like I said a while ago, Lord, I'm trying to quit, but you understand. What I was telling the Lord, what you did wasn't good enough. What you did at Calvary was not good enough to deliver me. But it was good. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you right here. I know y'all not going to say amen or shout from the rooftop, but we believe the Lord for salvation, but we don't believe the Lord for deliverance. I got salvation. I believe Him for salvation. I believe Him for eternal security. But, you know, I just got some things I just can't quite get rid of. That's good preaching, ain't it, Brother David? But the Word says you got to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you from what? Running the race. I watched the other day, they was showing some segments of the Boston Marathon. You know, they wasn't able to have it this year, and they was showing some the years. You know, they had a bombing and everything last year there, and a few years prior to that, they were showing some segments of it. But you know what? I didn't see those athletes with a Swiss or Sweet cigar running. I didn't see them with a pipe. I didn't see them with a Michelob. I didn't see them with anything that would harm their body, Brother David, that would keep them from running this marathon. So I'm saying, and let me say this right here. I'm not judging. I'm just giving you the Word. Okay? But the Word tells us right here that we got to put on the new man. And when you put on the new man, I want to say this right here. When we put on the new man, mama, daddy, grandma, papa, whatever, when we put on the new man, you know what? It's not only for us, but it's for our children. They're watching. They're, let me tell you one thing. They very, very alert. I might have shared this with you, and I think I have. There was a boy one time played with Zach and Joseph on basketball. There was two of them boys. They played basketball, and their dad, he was kind of like head coach or coaching them or something or other. But he smoked. And he was a Christian. He would talk about the Lord and everything. And I think it was JoJo, wasn't that was his name? After practice one night, we were standing out by the gym at Jay, and we was talking about the Lord, and little old JoJo said, Daddy, you don't set a very good example. You smoke. Boy, I bet he got a tail torn up when he got home. But a kid knows. And I say that on the part of the parent, male and female. The kids, let me tell you one thing. Man, you can say things or you can do things, and let me tell you one thing. It's a stamp. It's there. Amen? I know things that my daddy, you know, and I preached my daddy's funeral, and I told him the day that I spoke at my dad's funeral, I said, my dad was a man of choice words, and some of the words you didn't want to repeat. But then my dad was good as gold. I mean, he would give you the shirt off his back. I mean, he was just a good man. But hey, growing up, Pam, I heard some words, you know. And hey, I didn't go around saying it, but Joseph did. We was at a church one time. I'm just telling a little story. Joseph was about 4 or 5, and Teresa's stepdad, he'd sit there at the table and he would say dirty words. We was at a church at North Bruton up there, and we was up there having a lunch, like a homecoming or something or other. And Joseph just stood up on the end of the table, and boy, he was telling his Sunday school lesson backwards. But he heard it from Teresa's stepdad. And let me tell you one thing, Joseph got tore up. But also Ollie, his step-granddad, he got a tightening too after, because Teresa told him, if I ever hear you say anything like that, Joseph will not be going to your house ever again. But what it was, it's a mark. But we got to realize we need to come to the Lord. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. What is our reasonable? I understand. We got to come to this place right here that we got to get to that point and say, hey, I am renewing my spirit, renewing my mind. Give me just 5 more minutes. Zach, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 6. There you go. Now this is at the fall of man. I want to make some things clear right here. Before the fall of man, God gave Adam dominion. He had, in other words, he had leadership. Okay? He was the leader of everything. He said, I give you power, authority over ever, even the creepy things, the fish in the sea, the fowls of the air. He said, I give you dominion over all of these. All right, but now listen to this right here. And when the woman, and I'm not saying the woman, understand this right here. It wasn't the woman that had the authority. It was Adam. Okay, can I say this right here? Men, you are the leader of your house. Okay? And women, I'm not putting you down, but hey, spiritually, if the man's right, according to the word, he's the leader. Okay? But now listen to what it said right here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant. Oh, it looked, man, it was awesome. To the eyes. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right there, Adam should have said, we're not going to do it. I will not take of that. Eve had already eaten of it. And I believe if Adam would have refused, God would have made a sacrifice right then for the situation. But Eve was persuasive to the man. I don't have to ask you. Ladies can persuade men to do a lot of things. Amen? And I'm not, you know, let me go over here to Pam's giving me that look. My wife, if she sets her mind to something, she can persuade me to a certain point. But right here, Adam should have took his reign. Amen? We wouldn't be where we at if Adam would have been who he was called to be. God, listen to what I'm going to say. I'm trying to close with this right here because I want to bring something out next Sunday. Right here, Adam lost the authority. And can I say now that's why a lot of women run the show? Because man stepped back. But right here, this passage of scripture, let me hurry with this right here. Adam was persuaded, okay? He could have refused. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. Have you done something because somebody twisted your arm, or you did it because you wanted to do it? You did it because you wanted to do it, okay? Me and Nana gets our arms twisted just about every night. Sister Teresa buys ice cream and brings it to the house and says, y'all eat it before y'all go to bed. And we say, okay, dear, let go, I'll do it. don't we not? Eve did not twist his arm to make him do it. He did it on his own. He had the power, he had the authority to refuse. But now let me go on with this real quick right here in verse 7. And the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. I mean, something revealed right here, okay? All right, now listen. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now listen to this verse right here, verse 9. I'm going to stop with this before because I got some other things I want to bring in the latter part of this. But listen, verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto Adam, where are you? Adam knew where he was, but yet he was lost. Does that make sense? It's kind of like me and Miss Sister Teresa. We'd be riding around and she'll say, we lost, ain't you? And I said, oh no, I know where I'm going. Come on, y'all. Me and y'all know what I'm talking about. No, I got it. And you're trying to find something familiar or something, Brother John, to get you out to where you can get to where you need to be. But right here, Adam knew where he was, but he was trying to hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Be a man, be a woman, step out and say, Lord, renew me. Get something done. Do what needs to be done so I can get rid of some of this stuff that don't. Why? Your thoughts are a lot better than my thoughts. Can I say this in closing? Hiding, lying, deception, unbelief, it won't get you anywhere. But if you be honest about it, honesty will get you a lot of places. A quick story in closing. I had two older brothers. And my brothers, I think that's where I got a lot of my stuff. I watched them. But we would go and we weren't supposed to be going places, and they would go. And my dad would ask when we come home, where did y'all go? And I'd say, well, they dropped me off, but they went so-and-so. And they would. They would drop me off, and they would go to these parties, you know, because, hey, I was a younger boy. I wasn't supposed to go to them kind of parties. But they would drop me off at the game house or whatever. What it was, I hadn't been taught to lie. When you hang around with the wrong crowd, when you get to the wrong places, deception sets in. Brother David, it don't hurt to tell a little lie or stretch the truth. Come on. It won't get you nowhere. Deception. See, right here, Adam knew where he was. He had lost the authority that God had given him. He was hiding out in his shame. But can I say this right here? He was wounded for our transgression. Okay? He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. So hiding didn't get Adam anywhere. Deception, she gave it to me. Don't blame it on somebody else. You had a choice. I'm giving you that choice today. Let's don't be deceived. I want to pick this back up next Sunday morning because I've got a lot of other stuff that I want to bring here. But here, I want to close with Adam. He was the fall, but we've been redeemed. We don't have to live under that curse no longer. Brother David, we've been redeemed by the blood. We've been bought back. I gave you scripture last week about he pardoned all. He done away with everything. He took our place. We don't have to be shameful anymore. If we make a mistake, you know what we can do? We can go up there and the Lord just kind of, like I did my kids or you done your kids or grandkids, they fall on the bicycle, they hurt themselves, or they do something wrong. You sit them down, you talk to them and say, it'll be all right. It won't be the last mistake that you make. But you live, listen to what I'm saying. You live by telling the truth. If you don't tell the truth, you die. Because when you lie, the truth, Brother David, can't set you free. My dad caught me one time. I skipped school. And I told on myself. And you know what? When I got home, he took care of me. But I told on myself. Do you understand? I couldn't lie about it, Brother David. I told on myself. I can't look at Amy and tell God all of her faults, all of her problems. She's the one has to go before God. But understand this here. God don't look at Amy and her faults or my faults. He looks at us in his righteousness. Why? Because Brother David, he gave his son to die for us, that we can have life and not have it just part-time, but have it more abundantly. Oh, I could just keep going with this here because it gets bigger. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to ask you, are you willing to forgive yourself? Hey, I've done some things that I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I met a lady one time and she was making excuses for her daughter. Her daughter had, I mean, this girl's like 27 years old and her mom's not, I imagine she's 55, something like that. But anyhow, she was making, you know, about her daughter doing this and her daughter doing that. And I just asked her one morning, she came to the store and was talking about it and everything. I said, have you ever asked your daughter to forgive you? Forgive me for what? For allowing her to grow up like that. She didn't like that. She didn't buy my coffee that morning. But I told her the truth. A few months later, her husband came in the store and sat down there and was drinking coffee with us. And he said, David, you know what you told Cindy? She went back about a month or so after that and told her daughter exactly what you said. And her daughter sit there at the table. And he told me, he said, they sit at the table and cried over each other and told each other they were sorry. Sometimes we have to admit, hey, I didn't do the best. I could have did better. But I got to take it up where I'm at. Okay? David said, create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. Lord, I want the right spirit. I want to see things in a better perspective. Better perspective. It's got to get better. Amen? According to God's word, it's going to get better. Brother Jesse Duplantis made a statement this morning. I was listening to him early this morning. I was up early. And he was talking about the abundance of God. He said, he wasn't talking about tithes. He was talking about the abundance of God. He said, God said in Malachi, he said he would open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He said, people, you got to realize God is wanting to pour out on you. In other words, Brother John, not just give you a trickle, but pour out on you. And that got in my spirit. God wants to pour out on us the blessings. Amen. Father, I love you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that sets us free. Lord, let us put on the new man. Lord, let old things, Lord, let it vanish. Let it, all the things that are unusable in our life, Lord, let it fall to the ground. But Lord, what you've intended for us to be, Lord, men and women of God, of the kingdom of God, Lord, let it flourish in our life. Let it grow, Lord. Let it begin to bud out, Lord, that we can bring forth much fruit. Father, I pray that your blessing to be upon everyone here, every home represented, every boy and girl and family member, Lord, that is connected with anybody that's here today. Lord, I just speak the blessings, Lord, of being set free. Father, grant this morning, Lord. I thank you for our time together, Lord. Bless everyone, Lord, as we leave this building, Lord. It's just a building. But, Lord, we're not going to leave your presence. Lord, we pray that you go with us, Lord, in our destinies in different areas, Lord, of different avenues, addresses. But, Lord, just be with us. Protect us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen and amen.